From the front line. From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fan. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
What's going on, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen?
What's
going on, Chris?
Hey, that beat, man. That's a, you said iconic yesterday. Well, that beat is iconic by Thursday. Let me tell you. I love that beat, man. Nothing replaces that beat. Such joy comes to my heart with it. Blue joy comes to my heart when I hear that beat, man. Okay, I'm sorry, Steve. Got beside myself there. What's up, Chief?
Yeah, we are at different times. I know this is the football episode, but damn, I mean, this is the first time, man, since my high school days that the Spurs are not going to be in the playoffs. This is different, man. really in some different times, man. This is crazy.
I don't even remember. Is that a trivia question? Because let me tell you, man, I can't remember them not being in playoffs. I mean, the last time they weren't.
The tank season, probably,
George,
right?
Gervin days, maybe?
No, maybe the tank season when they tanked for Tim Duncan. That's the last time I can remember.
Yeah, but that's a weird season, though, Steve. Man, I didn't know what was going on, man. First, we thought the season was over, then they called it back on, and that was the Jason Williams season. That's what that one season he was the best center in the NBA. Because that was Akeem and David. Well, David was on the downside. Akeem had just retired. There was no Patrick. Shaq was coming, but there was some. He was losing like in the playoffs to. Oh man, that's when he first got.
That was Utah's window. Utah was running things at that time. Utah.
Yes, thank you.
In the West.
Yeah. And in the East, Jason Williams. Old Nets Jason Williams was pairing it up for about a year and a half.
I remember.
And then something happened.
Remember.
Yeah, I'm happy after that. We ain't going to that.
But no, we'll get to the we'll get to that maybe next time. It's been a good week of episodes, as you already know. With the basketball yesterday, that was fantastic. Rearranging the iconic icons on each franchise. We had a great episode with RP on the Rangers getting the number one overall pick. I'm glad. You know what? I'm gonna bring this up to your attention, and we'll bring it on the stakeholders. If you're a Rangers fan, if you're a Giants fan, this Knicks fan, whatever, I'm telling you, Chris, if you're a fan across the board like I am, I think this is probably the most excited I've ever been for any draft pick, and that includes the Eli Manning draft. I said that on that hockey episode. I don't know what your thoughts is. I mean, you've seen a lot more drafts since going back with the Knicks and the Giants in the 60s and 70s, but the Rangers getting the number one overall. I mean, Barkley – number two was not quite number one because we knew we were getting Barkley, but the Rangers was very, very unexpected. And it's, like, really still shocking.
You know what? It is. I was going to, like, defer to history, talk about doing and all that. Nah, we could go with that. If we get Alexis, okay? unless they do something really nuts. Okay, it's got to be him. Well, I don't know. I don't want to jinx it, but I think that's the only guy. Look, the thing about that is it's kind of a curse too. If you get sometimes it's obvious. Like in '92, when Orlando had it and Shaq was coming out. Come on, man, you couldn't go around that. Okay.
Correct.
Then there's other times. Then there's other times when you've got an embarrassment of riches. And you don't know how you're going to pick. Now I'm going to go back. I'm sorry for getting historic, but I have to go back to '89 NBA draft when what was his name?
Purdy. Two days in a row, huh?
Number one.
Two days in a row, the '89 draft is brought up. Only on the bleep.
Purvis Ellison was number one, but there could have been four other dudes, and they didn't know what to do. And then '92. But Michael picks Kwame.
Kwame Brown.
Saying. He didn't turn out to be anything. Thank you. That was a bad pick, man. But there was other guys available. But this time, in the New York area type, you know, come on, man. We get an Alexis dude, the number one overall. We can't miss with that. That's a dude that right now, I'm not jinxing him, but everybody else already is. He's stamped Hall of Fame already. You know, everybody's talking about this guy. Everybody's excited. The whole metropolitan area is nuts about that. And I think that, you're justified with that. You have to be excited about this, dude. You know, we got eliminated, you know, three games last year. People were kind of like down.
See, but that's the thing. That's the thing. And we're going to get Carl on because I would love to get his opinion on it. See, the Rangers are actually a pretty decent team. You add a number one overall pick. It's not like the Knicks in 85. And the Knicks were just they were total rebuild at that time. The Giants in 04 when Eli – the swap of the picks, and the Giants were coming off NFC, you know, with Fossil losing with the Niners, and they were kind of finding it. The Rangers are a light-headed years away or ahead of those teams, if you're talking about relatives. The Rangers are a pretty good team. You add a number one overall, that's fantastic, man. Add them on the wing, the top six is crazy. But let me ask you this. Other drafts I was excited for, the 96 Knicks draft, I know those picks didn't work out, but I was still excited. We had the three first rounds with Walter McCarty, Jones, and, of course, John Wallace from Syracuse. I mean, I thought we was going to win something in that draft. But I was excited for it. It didn't pan out, but I was excited. I'm talking about pure excitement. I think the Rangers –
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that, Steve, because we were trying to get I think his name was Abdul Sharif or Sharif Abdul. We were trying to get him. And it was more Van Gundy that was excited about him I'm having brain farts here. But Van Gundy was excited about getting him. He would have brought a lot to us. But we, at the last minute, you know, who was they before that? Vancouver. They reneged on that pick, and we were just kind of down, you know. That was a good Knicks team, too. Actually, we didn't need much back then. It's funny to say it now, but, you know.
I know, right?
Forget all about that. This is a D-man conversation, bro. But I want to say one thing. I got to slip one more thing in. Alexis is the bomb. I haven't seen a stick handler like that in a minute, bro. You know, that shifting and he can. Okay, I'm good. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And shout out to the Rangers. Shout out to all of our other spots. We're going to get Carl. We're going to talk AFC divisions this episode. 2 weeks from now, we'll get to the NFC divisions. I want to have you guys' opinion on the bubble. The NFL should do a bubble or not do a bubble. They should do a bubble.
Wow.
Carl, what's going on? And any Giants news as well, if they haven't found a kicker and all the other good stuff. Carl, what's good, man? How you doing, man?
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. I miss hockey talk. Was very, very enlightening. I loved it.
Oh, man, please. I mean, you're a Rangers fan, big-time Rangers fan. I mean, you're, like, across the board like all of us. Like, what's your opinion on that with the Rangers, man? I know we're kind of talking about different sports, but, man, I know you got to be excited.
Well, you know, I had missed the lottery, and then all of a sudden, I didn't realize it was on that day when the first pick came through, but when I saw the notification that came through on my tablet, I was like, oh, my goodness. I was absolutely stunned by it. I couldn't, you know, it was Now, I will say this. I know that Lafreniere is, projected to be a very elite player. However, I don't know. I'm thinking about the time a couple of years ago when McDavid was in the draft lottery, and I remember all of the hype going into that particular draft and the fact that Edmonton ended up winning the lottery again and getting him, and we've seen what McDavid's career has been like so far. He's absolutely amazing. He's just, you know, stuck on a terrible, you know, organization. So the fact that, you know, the Rangers sort of lucked out here. And you were talking about, you know, comparison to see, like, has this really happened with a team that was, you know, a good team that all of a sudden, you know, usually when you think about a first pick in the draft, you know, you're a team that really kind of, you know, is not any good. But in this particular case, I'm trying to think of different comparisons since I can't use baseball and hockey is a little bit different, so I can't really use that. The Tim Duncan draft was a unique draft because if you remember, the Celtics were the ones that were supposed to be in the business to get him all along. That's why Rick Pitino took that job. thinking that you know, he was going to take that job and then get Tim Duncan.
The Spurs, that's exactly
I don't
what
think they were even second. The Spurs may have been like maybe top five because of the David Robinson injury, and so this would have, you know, happened to just win the ping pong balls, and they got Tim Duncan. Yeah. And the Spurs were sort of like a playoff team before Robinson got hurt, and then all of a sudden he came back, Duncan came back, and within about a year, I think the second year is when they won the championship and, you know, went on the dynasty for the next, you know, 15 years. So, you know, now on this team, you know, this is a, there's a lot of young players, a lot of good young players on this team. There's a structural imbalance I noticed in the first round of the playoffs, but, you know, in terms of just having elite talent on this roster going forward, I mean, the future is very, very bright. You just hope that, you know, barring injury and the salary cap, you know, you're probably going to have to win very, very soon because, you know, eventually the bills are going to come due to pay these guys that are, you expect to be stars, and you're going to end up having to make decisions saying, all right, do I got to keep this guy? Do I got to get rid of this guy? Do all that kind of stuff. The one thing that if you go back, the Blackhawks is probably the best example of this. Their Hall of Fame players and Keith and Taves and Kane won really early. They came in the league and within 2 years or 3 years, they won the title. And then they won another, and then they won another, and then the Bills. So that's the only thing. If you're going to win now, this, you can't be like, hey, we're going to wait 5 years and then see how this plays out. You kind of have – but the way the salary cap is set up, you got to win this thing in quick order before the Bills come due.
You do. Absolutely. I do. I agree with that. I agree with that. Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. Let's get through the AFC division, division by division. We'll sprinkle in any Giants news. First of all, Zach Diossi retires. I mean, salutes to him. Nick Gates, of course, obviously with the Nate Solder opting out because of the COVID. Gates is going to get – he got that 2-year deal, so no surprise there. That was like a little bit after our last episode. And of course, Rojas, since the last episode, he's been released. If you guys have any comments on that as well. But we can get through the AFC East right now. I think this is Buffalo's division. This is not New England's division, Chris and Carl. And you guys want to weigh in. And all these COVID cases, especially in the East and the North, not necessarily in the West as far as those teams, but the Jets were. CJ, I think Chris, you brought this up on one of those episodes. Like CJ Mosley's not playing, Josh Dotson, who's just got this, not playing. But I think the Patriots are even worse shape than the Jets when it comes to the guys who left, you know, COVID, like Patrick Chung, Dante Hightower. I mean, these are the core of the defense. But how do you guys got the ranking of the AFC East? We'll go with Carl first, and then Chris, and then we'll bounce division by division.
You know, I was a little surprised by the amount of Pats players that elected to take the opt-out this past for this season. Now, I do wonder how many of those guys would have made the team. Outside of, let's say, Chung, Hightower, and maybe another player, I wonder how many of those other guys would have stuck on the team. I think, you know, you never want to count the Patriots out. And the one thing that I'm not going to do is automatically declare the Buffalo Bills ready to win. I would be very, very leery on that too. You know, listen, they were a very good team last season when they didn't have any expectations. If they're going to play this season and they're going to be expected to win, those type of teams, especially with a quarterback who's not as accurate as Allen, and we saw in that playoff game where, you know, you saw some good, and then you just saw some just horrific, horrific quarterback play out of him and unable to hold that lead in that second half. So I think for the Bills, I want to see how their first couple of games go. You'll know from Buffalo very early whether or not they're going to be a team that is going to be a legitimate threat or a team that's going to be one of those that has all these expectations placed on them because the Patriots are not looked at as quote-unquote contenders in the same sense that we're used to, and all of a sudden seem, you know, start out 1-3, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, their confidence sets in, issues abound, and they finish up the season 8-8 like they almost, you know, do, you know, most of the last, you know, 20 years, basically.
Okay. I'm so glad you were ahead of me, Carl, because I can learn. Look, I do, though. I'm sorry. I have to disagree with you on one little point. I believe, as closest to normal circumstances as this season could possibly be, I think the Bills are going to take that division. Okay? Right? You know, I think the pride of Western New York depends on this. All right. Well, let me see. Like that, okay, you take that wild card game, for instance, all right? They look like the tough team to beat with a stingy defense, and then Deshaun Watson pulled some shit out of his ass and dropped that ball off to Tywan Jones, and then that was it, pretty much, okay? They were very close to the divisional round matchup with the Chiefs. I truly believe the acquisition of Stephon Diggs, okay, I think that bolsters the ability of Josh Allen to deliver this year. His third year. They've already got one of the top defenses in the whole damn league. And by making this move on offense, I think that puts them on top of that division, particularly since this is the first season in, maybe 19 years that this division hasn't been totally dominated by one particular team. I think they smell blood. I think if you know anything about those people up there, it's pretty much like Chicago fans. They don't forget it the entire off season, and I think that's permeated onto this. Well, no matter, you know, I know it's a little bit unusual right now, these circumstances, but I think that's one of the reasons I feel that the confidence level with that team is at all time high. They know they can beat the Patriots, Jets, and Miami. I think they'll have a tough time in Miami, but I think they have a little bit of a swagger. I think this is their year. I think that Diggs move, again, the Diggs move is the one that finally puts them back on top, and they're going to come in first on my AFC prediction. That's all I'm going to say to you right now, bro.
Well, no, I was going to follow up on that and just say, hey, listen, the Bills can definitely win the division. They may win it at 9-7, but that division might be one of those sort of ugly, you know, you get to about the middle point of the season, you're like, man, can 8-8 win this thing? Like, my thinking on that is that
you're
that's
right.
Where it goes. Do I think Buffalo goes from 10 wins to like an 11-12 win team, making that leap, that like legitimate leap where it's like, hey, listen, this is a fucking like, you know, really – solid Super Bowl contending type team, or do they sort of middle around where they end up the season, you know, the last week of the season, like 9-7, and they get into the playoffs by winning the division that way?
But Carl, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, because you got to remember, we thought in the middle of last year that maybe they were overachieving a little bit with some of these wins. You know, they came out of the box and sort of like just kind of did some things at the end of, you know, in the fourth quarter that allowed them, which is when you're supposed to play, step your game up, which allows them to excel. And so I believe it's the better team. I don't think it's a knockout team. You're right. It can win with 9-7. And the circumstances this year are so iffy. So I don't know. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm with y'all. I'm with you, Chris. I just think they've got better in the offseason. Their draft picks, you know, they've been signing. There's some proven players. I mean, the backups is just – I like the depth on this team. I love the running back situation. I've been always screaming about Zach Moss when he was playing at Utah last year, and he went to the Buffalo Bills behind, you know, Singletary and T.J. Yeldon.
Yep.
I mean, they're going to run the ball, and they're going to feed Stephon Diggs, and they still got guys like in the slot like Cole Beasley. They got a decent, you know, line with Brian Winters and Ford still on the line. And it's not that – okay, it's like I give the division to Buffalo by default because I can't even make a case for New England or the Jets or Miami. I just,
right.
It's 9-7 probably won't get it done.
Yeah.
I have a better question for both of you. What case could you make for the Jets, the Patriots, and the Dolphins?
Oh, boy.
What case can
I make for them?
I can't make any for the Jets. Miami, since you know what, I can't since Tua's probably not going to play yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I, Yep, I'll hold on that because I don't think Fitzpatrick will be able to play a full season, you know. And then the case for New England would just be based on if you believe Cam Newton is healthy, right? If you think he's healthy and can be at 85% of what he was a couple of years ago, when they make the playoffs last, I think it was 2017 was the last time he made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And sort of, you know, for one season, like, can he have a flashback for one season? He may not be for the future, but just for 1 year, is that possible? Like, we've seen this before with certain guys where they have, like, that one sort of, like, fairy dust magical season, and then it reverts back to what we've seen before. Is that possible? That's what I would think if you're going to pick – if you're going to make a case for New England, you'd only be making that case based on you would think that Cam Newton can sort of for one season replicate, like, past glory and play at a level that he carries their offense, and, you know, some of the things that they couldn't do with Brady, they can do with him, and their offense looks different and more dynamic than it did before.
Yeah. Nonetheless, they're going to be dethroned this year. I think it's going to be has to be another show where I discuss how I think Cam Newton is going to get along with Belichick's offense, and he's a special blend. Okay, I don't think you guys have correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know how many players, key players, you know, other than obvious ones that the Patriots lost on the offensive side of the board. I don't know if I know Julian Edelman is still there. I think Sonny Michel is still there. I think James White is still there. I know on the defensive side of the house, Van Noy went to the damn Dolphins. Then you got all these opt outs. I think I expect them to be a defensive minded team, but I don't see that swagger at all for that team. For the Jets, okay, you sent Jamal Adams away. Now, he wanted to leave. He obviously saw something. They got a couple of first-round draft picks back for him. They got Bradley McDougal there. A lot of people say that the Seahawks gave up too much in that trade, but I don't know. I'd have to mildly disagree with that, you guys. Seattle's like in a win-now mode and has been for the last couple of years. The Jets side, I think they did the best with the situation that was at hand, but guys like Le'Veon Bell, while it's in my mind, they continue to believe that, you know, like Adams would stay put, but we all knew that wasn't true. So with a player like that showing so much disdain towards a coach in the front office, the Jets were almost forced to get rid of him. And what that does is that permeates disdain with the rest of your players. I have them as the seller in that division right now. I don't see nothing happening over there, bro. Not at all. And it's too bad because they have a defense that you still can work with. Bad for Darnold, man. I don't know what's going on there. But I do think that, Carl, I think you're right about the Dolphins. You know, Steve, I remember the show last year. We at the four games, we said, oh, my God, this is going to be the worst team in the history of football. Okay? I think Charlie Brown's team could probably beat them if they switched over, man. You know? And it was a rough start in South Beach, but and they didn't get their first win to like, what, week 10 or something like that? And that was against the Jets. So I think they're going to be a little bit better than we anticipated. I don't think Tua is going to play. He has the potential to be an all-time great quarterback in this league. But, with the injuries and then the uncertainty of their offensive – of the backfield, I don't know. You know what? I'm just going to defer this whole division over to the Bills, man. I'm sorry. This sucks, man.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to show me, man. They don't have nothing to show me.
Yeah, we're going to go to the North, but let me say this real quick about the Dolphins and the Patriots. I think everything's pretty much covered for the Jets. CJ Mosley's not there, Josh Dotson, and you mentioned the Jamal Adams trade. It's I just can't see it, man. And then Miami, the top two wide receivers is not there either because they're opting out for the COVID.
That's right.
Albert Wilson and Allen Hurns, I just can't see it, man. I really can't. And, you know, defensively, you know, like Van Noy, I think they'll be second or third I think I'm with you, Chris, as far as the Jets at the bottom. I'd be shocked if the Jets got highest two in that division. But as far as Cam Newton, I just don't see him in the Josh McDaniels offense. Like, Cam Newton's traditionally, even at Auburn, likes to hold on to the ball, sit in the pocket, where that offense is hype, throw the ball. I just don't – is he going to translate or modify his game to that quick offense, like to throw to James White and throw to, Mohamed Sanu or Julian? Until I actually see it, I don't believe it. So, and plus, that's not even the biggest of their issues. The issues, all they lost on defense because of COVID, and I just think right. that is too much to overcome. I think they're kind of having their sights on Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson, if you know what I mean.
Thank you.
It's good to yeah. get to the North. Baltimore, let's see, two Ohio teams, and Pittsburgh. Carl, man, Baltimore dominated last year, and they got that early ounce from the Titans at home. And we all saw that game. But how do you look at the North, AFC North?
You know, this year, you know, with Roethlisberger back, and I was generally surprised by the Steelers' defense and how good it was last season, because, you know, the last, you know, I would say like five years at least, you know, the Achilles heel of the Steelers team had been defensively. Like, you would watch them play, and even though they had, you know, all world players, like quarterback, Bell at receiver, Bell at running back, Bell at receiver, you know, Juju and a couple, you know, and even going back even further than that, the defense was their huge problem. But last year, you know, a lot of their defensive players really, really shined. And especially after that trade that they made with Miami for Fitzpatrick, when they gave up that first round pick to get him, and their defense was top notch. Now, this season, it's going to be a little bit different because Roethlisberger is back. They're no longer playing their third and fourth quarterbacks. I think they should be able to manufacture enough to get into the playoffs with that extra, that extra seed that's available now. Baltimore is still, to me, the best team. I still think that they're probably the second best. They're probably the best team in the league. I know they didn't win the championship, but I thought they were the best team in the league and just happened to not win. The one thing I wonder about with Baltimore is, you know, how often do they want to throw the ball? Like, I feel like there's going to be this temptation to throw the ball more in sort of a way that to prove that Lamar can, quote unquote, you know, throw from the pocket or make plays in the passing game. The sort of like outside pressure that exists because of the fact that last year, if you watch in the playoffs, the second that the Ravens got down in that game against Tennessee, it was like, all right, here's Lamar. Let's see what happens. And it didn't totally happen the way, you know, many would have thought. So I wonder going into the season if they're going to try to make a concerted effort to throw the ball more, which might kind of go away from their identity that we saw last year, which was, hey, we can kind of balance, like legitimately balance offense out. Like, we can run the ball whenever we want, and whenever we want to throw the ball, we can make big plays. I wonder if that tilts a little bit, and I fear if that tilts a little bit in the wrong direction, that, you know, they don't get the result that they're looking for. So I'm just kind of wondering about that going into the season.
Right. You know what? I got to tell you, man, that was spot on, because I think the AFC North, I think it has the potential to probably be a top two or three division in all of football, man. I actually do. I think they have an actual real shot of probably sending three teams to the playoffs in January. Some people already, I guess the Ravens are the consensus, you know, division winner there, man. I mean, and, you know, with Lamar Jackson, they still have a lot to prove in the offseason, that, you know, but it wouldn't be a stretch to see them represent the AFC in a big game. But those two playoff losses, you know, first to the Chargers and last, you know, and the other one, I don't know. That's what's going to kill them. You know, look, they added some young studs. They got, I think, they, who did they get? They got Patrick Queen. They got J.K. Dobbins.
Man. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah. Wow. I know. They will not have a drop off at the running back position. You got Dobbins and Ingram in the backfield. I think you got something going on over there, man. Now they were 14-2 last year. I don't think they're going to do that again, but they are going to be formidable. So I'm picking them again, but I'm a little bit iffy because I didn't like the playoff loss the last two seasons. Cleveland, man. Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you, do you think Lamar Jackson should run the ball 200 times this season?
That might work. Wait a minute. If they run the right schemes, and you got Lamar Jackson, you got Ingram, and you got my man there, I think you can probably shock a lot of folks, man. J.K. Dobbins is comfortable. We'll see. Let me see.
I'm looking at the division. He ran 176 times last year. That's what I'm saying. He ran for 12.
Yeah, well, J.K.
yards,
Dobbins
and I'm wondering.
Is there now. Yeah. And I think that was calculated to make sure that he sat in the damn pocket a little more. But we'll see. Cleveland, man, look, okay. They had all of this hype the last offseason. Okay. On top of Mayfield, they got Beckham, they got Landry, they got Chubb. I think Kareem Hunt is coming back after a certain amount of time. Didn't they get my man from Minnesota? Damn it, the offensive coordinator. He's the head coach now. You got Jack Conklin. You got Wills Jr. They got Austin Hooper.
Right.
They got the coach who's still there. Okay, look, they still at best will go 9-7 because they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. They are just one of those teams. I cannot buy into that hype train. But I believe they can be a playoff contention. But all of those personalities, they remind me of a 1970s ABA basketball team, man. They they'll get together and their egos will implode in the locker room, and they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. I got to say that. I had to get that out. Steelers, man. I'm running out of time. I know. The Steelers. I thought actually the Cam was going to end up there at first, you know, because it made sense because Mason Rudolph and that other guy. You know, they stuff to join out. And through all of that, Steelers still got an 8-8 record. And they win the playoff conversation for most of the season. And that's because of that defense, Carl. You're right. I think they were fifth or sixth ranked, man. But if they had more help for the offense and didn't have all that drama that happened, they lost two particular people that were whiny, we have to believe that they probably would have made the playoffs and probably put together a nice run in the postseason. I'm going to give them a one-game improvement. I think they have the potential to be 9-7. I think the Browns and them would be in the fight for the first ever seventh seed in the AFC. And if that was the case, you know, maybe they, you know, at the end of the year, I'm looking at the schedule. At the end of the year, that would be electric in week 17 for both of those teams. And I think the beginning of the Cincinnati dynasty could start this year. You know, people always are looking at Joe Burrow, but, hey, you know what? People forget they drafted T. Higgins too, okay? And if A.J. Green comes back halfway decent, and Tyler Boyd is still there, you still got Joe Mixon in the backfield, along with what's his name, the Italian name there, I forgot his name, Bernard, I think it is. You know, you can do some things. I think it could be as good as 10, maybe 6-10, but you know, I mean, you probably make a little bit of noise over there, but that's about it. They'll just continue to improve. That's all I see.
Yeah, let me say this, man, before we get to the South. But Baltimore, I mean, why throw the ball? I mean, you got all these runners, man, straight football players, you know, J.K. Dobbins. This is J.K. Dobbins. I mean, this guy's he's a very good back. I think he's going to be a very good back in this league. Run the rock with Mark Ingram and him, and then you still got the line is still intact with Ronnie Stanley and Orlando Brown. Man, why throw the ball?
I forgot that.
And if you throw the ball, you have so many options. The tight end combination was the best in the NFL last year, you know, with Mark Andrews and Boyle. I mean, this This man,
right.
I think they just ran into the wrong team at the wrong time. And that was Tennessee last year. Tennessee was on some other ish last year. It took us Kansas City superpower to get them, to eliminate them. If they would have played anybody else, maybe other than Kansas City and maybe Tennessee, they'd be any AFC team in the playoffs. But man, they're going to be run the ball. You have the line to do it. You have the skill set at the line to do it. You have the running backs to do it. You have the depth to do it. And you have these guys that can get behind the defense if linebackers cheat. That's enough on the Baltimore. Oh, and you mentioned Patrick Crean, and I'm glad you said that. Man, he had a hell of a year last year at LSU, man.
He did.
I like the makeup of this team is what the – I hate to say it. And I know the Giants fans are going to come. This is what the Giants should be looking like. If you look at the if you look at the 80s Giants, you say, okay, what would that 80s Giants look like in 2020? It would be the 2020 Baltimore Ravens. This is what it should look like. They are loaded, man. And I'm trying to add on to other points. See, Kristen, here's the difference with Cleveland, man. I think all those names you mentioned last year that came onto the team, all those were skill sets. The names you did mention this year, like Jack Conklin, I love Jack Conklin. That was a great signing.
Yeah.
They got better on the line. That was a huge issue last year. They had flashes last year. I remember the game they played in Baltimore. Nick Chubb ran wild. They got to run this thing through Nick Chubb, man. And if Baker Mayfield could get a little bit of accuracy, I think he was kind of, I think he was getting banged up because he couldn't stay up. The offensive line got better. At the tackle position.
Yep.
Especially, you bring Jack Conklin, that's going to hurt Tennessee. But I still don't see them beyond Baltimore. I'm trying to think. Cincinnati is still light years away from me. But they're in a step in the right direction. They got the franchise quarterback that they needed. Geno Atkins is, he's still holding on, man. Maybe he has a long year left, but they got to have to revamp that defense. And then I look at Pittsburgh. The defense is on, man. And the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade from last year with Miami, now he's there for a full year. A lot of these guys did not opt out. I like T.J. Watt. I love Bud Dupree. I mean, they got guys and playmakers on every level. But I don't trust Ben Roethlisberger's availability. He's been injured, banged up. How I know? Because I have
a fantasy
football team.
He's 38 years old.
Always hurt.
Yeah.
He's always hurt.
Yeah.
When he gets down, you throw in like Duck Hodges or who's the other guy? Mason Rudolph? I don't know.
Right.
To me, Ben Roethlisberger, I'm not convinced he's playing a full season, so therefore I cannot put him at the top. I'm going with Baltimore at the top for the winning division. If you have anything else to add, guys, feel free to add. We'll go to the South as well. Houston and Tennessee, Jacksonville, Indianapolis. How do you look at that, the South, Carl?
That's a mixed bag there. Me and Bill O'Brien, from a philosophical standpoint, just do not get along at all. And the only reason why he's still a coach is because Deshaun Watson is carrying his behind. So, unfortunately, Watson's going to be stuck there on a poorly constructed roster. So, going into the season, I'm sorry, I don't see anything going on there. The Colts actually, for one season, might be able to sneak and win the division. Because I don't believe that it's just a feeling that I've always had. I don't believe that the style that the Titans want to run is conducive to long-term success. There's a reason why they had to basically rally the second half of the season just to make the playoffs. Like if that style worked, there would be, some semblance of consistency with that style, but I've never seen. You can go back and take a look. Look at all the teams that particularly try to do what the Titans are going to attempt to do this season. Basically, center their entire offense around Derrick Henry and then hope that their quarterback can make a few passes. Now, last year, Tannehill was actually a lot better than that, but the way that their whole team is sort of structured is based on Henry. You try to run that same system 2 years in a row, it almost does not work. And here's the other thing, too. Do you believe that Tannehill is due for a regression? If the answer is yes, then what's eventually going to happen is that as teams decide to dare him to throw the ball because they're keying up on Henry and overcommitting, And if he can't make those plays, I mean, you saw the championship game against the Chiefs. Once it got to the point where he had to make plays, he couldn't make it. That's just how it was. And even the week before that, you know, he only threw, I think, the ball, what, 12 times? I think it was either 12 or 15 times. And early in the game, he actually made a few passes for touchdowns. So it actually worked out. But over a 16-game season, can that structure, can that way of playing win 11 games or 10 games over the course of the season 2 years in a row? I don't think so. And so I think what's going to happen is that they'll have a regression. Tannehill will not be as good. And then at that point, the effectiveness of Henry will be lessened and the Titans won't be the same team. So I would take the Colts to win the division, and it might even be at 8-8.
Wow. Well, that's pretty accurate. Yeah. Wow. Well, look, I'm totally with Carl on Bill O'Brien. I have nothing for him at all. Look, they didn't start off free agency very well. You know, I'm still pissed that DeAndre Hopkins is gone for a fourth rounder at David Johnson. It's got to be one of the worst moves in recent years, bro. Okay, that's god awful, you know. And then on top of that, you know, they paid a second rounder to get Brandon Cooks over there. And paying more for Cooks than they receive for Hopkins, that's not smart, man. Anyway, what else have they got there? Defensively, I think they're going to struggle, the Texans. I really do believe that. They got a nice rookie defensive coordinator in Weaver. JJ's not the dominant player he was. Sean is still a very – back on offense real quick. He's still a dangerous weapon, and he can win some games by himself. And so he'll do his little highlights that you'll see on TV and all that. But this is going to be a real – I agree with Carl. It's going to be a tough season for them, man. I don't see them winning the NFC South or making the playoffs at all. At best, they can be 8-8. So I'm not feeling them. Who I am feeling are the Colts, though. I think they're well-coached and well-managed, man. You know, they were affected last year, kind of blindsided a little bit, which with Luck just, you know, retiring like he did. But – you know, they remain competitive. They brought in Phillip Rivers. And, yeah, people say, well, he's on his last legs. But you know what? Him being reunited with Frank Reich, that might be something. You never know. Because, look, he's got a top five ranked offensive line. Got a decent defense there, reinforced by, what's my man, Buckner. You know, I think, with Reich's coaching, you know, he'll revive his career too, and I think I picked the Colts to win the AFC South. The other teams, look, man, Jacksonville, man, they got other issues, man, inside, internally. You know, that Nick Foles thing didn't work, bro, and they got this Minshew guy who looks like he's actually a good quarterback. Their problem, though, is, and you know, they got some great players on the defensive side, but see, the players aren't happy, and they're not playing 100% because of it. And I think they're going to have a long season. Their problem is Doug Marrone. Okay, he doesn't have that leadership that's needed, man. And, you know, it's not happening. They'll probably win 5 games if they're lucky. Tennessee, bro, look. Tannehill, he's got that boost of confidence. He'll be the starting quarterback for them forever, for now. But he's not the team. This is a Derrick Henry team, okay, and who was also supported by a great defense, by the way. This year, the defense lost a lot of valuable players. I don't think they're going to have the same success. Make a long story short, you guys, I'm going with the Colts in this division.
I think I'm with you on the Colts. This is a tough division to pick out a winner. Because everybody improved in some areas, and then a lot of them just lost in some areas. Like, let's start with the Titans, for instance. Like, I like the veterans that they have on defense that they brought in. They brought in the pass rusher, Vic Beasley, from the Falcons. They still got Malcolm Butler and Kenny Vaccaro. I like their back end on their defense as well. And you know, the guy that never gets the credit that, you know, is a perennial Pro Bowler, Jeffrey Simmons, I love him, man. He's always been a monster on that D-line. I mean, they have a blue-collar defense that is probably going to keep them in it And I think a lot of people last year slept on him, man. I'm still, you know what, Carl? I'm saying, man, I'm not ready to write off Ryan Tannehill. I think he's in the right system for his brand of football. Miami was not. I think a lot of people looked at how it was in Miami and all the expectations and didn't pan out. Where I just think Tennessee, you know, when you had Taylor Lewan on one side and Jack Conklin on the other side, and you could run the ball, it set up the play action. It really benefited Ryan Tannehill. Now people are going to be gunning for that. I just don't know if, you know, is the line going to be strong enough like they did last year in their campaign. Now as far as the Colts, man. Jesus Christ, man, where do we start, man? I mean, he's, you know, Justin Houston and DeForest Buckner from the 49ers. Man, this team has a balance, too, man. And obviously, they have a top five offensive line, Quentin Nelson and then Costanzo, you know, and they have a good quarterback situation. You know, if Rivers doesn't pan out, you can always go back to Brissett. You know, I like their balance. I just like their balance because it's just, you know, Carl, you know, a couple of years ago when we were at that game in Indianapolis, I mean, they just played that brand of balanced football, and it just wore us out. You know, Houston, you know, I know the DeAndre Hopkins situation, and that was – no, first of all, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This shit is bad. But, I mean, I don't think – you know, they got a piecemeal or they got a wide receiver by committee, but like Chris said, that defense stinks, man. And J.J. Watt's old. I can't buy into that defense. If Houston had a better defense, then I would be kind of leaning Houston because I do believe in Deshaun Watson. But nah, man. I mean, I think it's Tennessee. I think it's Indianapolis going to win, and then Tennessee right behind it. And here's another thing about Indianapolis I want to throw in there before we go to the West. I think they got caught off last year off guard with that Andrew Luck subtle retirement.
Yes, they did.
I think
I agree.
They had huge plans. I think mentally they're like, I think there's something about when your quarterback is your de facto leader and you're literally in camp and you're ready to go mentally. This is pre-COVID and everything. And all of a sudden, your franchise quarterback, who actually was coming off a good playoff before that, suddenly retires. I mean, I think these guys mentally would just, I would say they checked out. It just caught them off guard. And I don't think a lot of that recovered them earlier in the year, you know, losing, you know, Miami and all that. No, that all that's going to be. They're ready mentally. I think they're ready this year. You know what I'm saying, Carl and Chris. Before we go to the West.
No. You hit it all. You hit all points, bro. You hit it all.
I didn't mention Jacksonville. I mean, I like Gardner Minshew. You know, I don't know, man. their team. You know, you had a lot of there was a lot of promises 2 years ago with that team. I don't know what happened, man. You know, they got, you know, Josh Allen had a great rookie year. There's just not enough there, man. I mean, they got a lot of guys, no name offense, but just not enough for me to buy into. Maybe, I mean, Gardner Minshew had a hell of a year. I mean, I don't say hell of a year. He had a good year. But no, I think this is Indianapolis. Let's get to the West, man. Carl, you know, defending champs. Kelce gets the contract today, well deserved, and then you know, the Raiders move to Vegas or whoever we're going to do with this bubble situation, if there is a bubble situation, and of course Denver and the Chargers. Carl, what's your thoughts on the West, and then go to Chris.
I will make this very, very short and simple. The Kansas City Chiefs are 6 games better than the next best team. That's it.
Damn.
That's it.
I'm going to co-sign with them. But I'm going to go a little deeper. let me go backwards. Let me take Carl's cue and go backwards, okay? I don't know what the hell the Raiders are, okay? I don't. Look. If the trajectory, I'm going to use that word lightly, if that trajectory under John Gruden continues, they should be. I'm putting this in italics. Should be competing for a playoff spot, but I doubt it. The young secondary they have, they'll have their ups. The pass rush probably won't be enough to compensate for the downs. And I think that Derek Carr, I think he's plateaued, man. This is Mariota's. It's going to be Mariota's job. Don't be shocked, okay? What else? Henry Ruggs is going to ball out, maybe, if they can get the ball to him.
Let me see. Who else did they get? Who else did they get? Let me see. Malik Collins got showed up there. I don't. What is Jason Witten doing on that team? They got Aguilar. They got. I don't know. I don't know. You know what? Forget the Raiders, man. They ain't gonna do that. All right. The Chargers is the one that has me scratching my head. Okay. You know, look. Anthony Lynn, he wants to use this quarterback heavy run game type of thing, you know. But you got a rookie quarterback. You didn't have a preseason. You got a glaring hole at left tackle. You got a loaded defense, you know, with Gus Bradley showing up. But I don't know how he's going to use Derwin James, you know. I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know if Tyrod Taylor is going to be the man. I don't know if Chris Harris Jr. is going to be happy. I don't know if Justin Herbert is ready. Okay, you heard it all before. They have potential, you know, and all of this shit. But I don't know if they are that good. I'll definitely tell you this, though. The Broncos aren't that damn good. Okay? All right? Now, they're the hardest team to figure out in the whole damn league. This, you know, after Drew Lock, and I understand they brought Pat Schumer in to coach him, okay? Fangio and that defense, man, was solid last year. It could be better if Bradley Chubb's healthy. Bro, I don't know what the hell they are. One thing's for sure, and I'm going to go with Carl with this one. Look, when you get the defending world champions to add Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's a badass motherfucker, you got Taco Carlton, you added Willie Gay, you got somebody else I can't think of right now. You didn't lose too much. Not really. I don't think so. Shady, you know, Terrell Suggs is old. I don't know what I think Damian Williams opted out. You guys got to correct me if he did. I'm not sure. The defense did enough last year, but there's still some holes. But with Willie Gay there, maybe there's an edge rushing threat besides Frank Clark, maybe. You know, the defense is going to miss my man Fuller, though. That's for damn sure. Look, it's over, man. They're going to be 13-3 at the worst. That team is going to kill everyone in that division. They will be showing up probably again with they'll try to play for home field advantage or bubble advantage or whatever you want to call it, and that'll be the end of that.
Yeah. I just think, man, if Mahomes does not get hurt, I mean, this is football, so people get hurt. And nobody's invincible. The only way I see another team you know, catching Kansas City and surpasses them is if Mahomes gets hurt. And I'm with you, Carl. They're going to win the division. But here's the thing. The argument really is better. Who's the best? Who's the second best team in that division? And do they make the playoffs? I like the Chargers. The Chargers are okay. I think they're 8-8-ish. I like Tim Murray, you know, from Oklahoma. You know, he's going to do whatever he needs to do. They're going to put him all over the field in that middle level. Joey Bosa added Linval from the Minnesota Vikings, mm-hmm. who's former Giant, and Derwin James is a help. I mean, they got playmakers on every level on that defense. I just don't think they're the Chargers' offense, if they were to play Kansas City with Tyrod Taylor or Justin Herbert, whoever, just could keep up with Mahomes. But they have a nice balanced team. I would take the Chargers over the Raiders situation or the Broncos. But this is really easy to – I mean, we're just picking who's going to win. It's definitely Kansas City. And I'm going to leave it at that. There's really nothing else to add. It's, you know, battling second place, third place. We could have that conversation before the start of the season. Before we get off, Carl, I mean, the NFL, let me get your opinion on this. You know, matter of fact, could we get your opinion on this and a final thought because we're running out of time? And Chris, same thing. Should the NFL do what the NBA and the NHL has done with this bubble situation? Nobody's getting sick, and it seems like it's working. I kind of think they should, and I think they should entertain four cities for a bubble. I mean, the NFL playing these nice air-conditioned domes across the country, You could do it in L.A. You could do it in Dallas. You could do it in what's the other dome in on the East Coast? Oh, Indianapolis. You already know about Indianapolis. What's your thoughts on that? And then go to Chris. And by the way, Carl, I want to say thank you. Job well done with the Big Blue Chicago. I saw, I guess you could say, retirement or moving on. Fantastic work, man. All you've done for the sports clubs in the Midwest. I mean, it is as good as it gets, man. As good as it gets. I salute you, man, for doing that, man. I just want to give you a shout out on that. But yeah, your final thoughts, anything on the bubble situations, should the NFL do it, so on and so forth. And of course, Chris, great week talking sports.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Steve. Yeah, it was a great run down there, for those many years. But, you know, now I'm down here in Dallas. You know, the weather's a little bit warmer. Not as humid, I have to say. It's 105 today, but it was not humid. So I have to say, that whole, like, dry heat thing, that is legit. That is real. I have to say, I'm very impressed.
I was just there last week.
I couldn't believe it either. Yeah, I walk around. I go out on occasion here just to kind of get some fresh air, just to stay out the house a little bit. And it'll be 98, 99, and it doesn't feel like anything crazy. So I'm like, oh, okay, I can work with this. So it's gonna be a fun time here. I just wish the situation with the COVID was better. I could kind of get around a little bit more. But right now things are not still not in that right place. So hopefully we can get that corrected very soon. As far as the bubble thing goes, the problem with doing it in football compared to the other sports is that the other sports are only doing it for a specific period of time, meaning that the NHL teams that are there the NHL had to leave the country to go and do theirs.
Yeah.
And for basketball, it's only for a finite period of time for the team that wins the championship. For the teams that are leaving after this, this I think the basketball season, I believe, ends tonight or tomorrow. Someone could probably check that for me. So after this weekend, six of the teams are leaving the bubble. So they'll be meaning they only would have been there for what 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and then they're out of there. The next set of 8 teams will be there for about 2 weeks. And then you're going to get them out of there. So basically almost half the 6 and 8, 14 of the 22 teams that came are going to be done and gone within 30 days or less. The problem with doing it for football is that if you were to do that now, you would have, this first game of the football season is in 30 days from today. You would have had to start like today. And then it would go every week for the next, August to September to October to November to, I think, January. When is the last game of the season this year is on January the 3rd. So starting from today until January the 3rd, you would be saying, hey, guys, we're going to need you to be bubbled up for basically 4.5 months. No players association is signing up for that. None. Zero. And I mean, there's even talk about whether or not the NBA is going to have to even do this next season. And the union rep was like, no, it's not happened. So I think to even go down that road for as long of a period of time, like if you said right now, you can do a month or 6 weeks in a bubble situation, you'd probably get a lot of people on board because it's only 6 weeks. But asking 4.5 months, not going to happen. And that's one. The second thing on top of that is, okay, the places that we think are not hot spots right now that we would want to do these bubble things at, what's to say that within that 4.5 month period, it becomes that? And the other thing too is because of the sheer amount of people involved, the sheer amount that's involved between players, coaches, support staff, training, management, all of these people, and then you're looking at what, upwards of 200 people maybe, and that's being conservative, and then telling them we're putting, 8 teams in this hotel and 8 teams in another hotel. Just the pure numbers don't allow for it. The NBA test 342 players. They keep mentioning it in a couple of weeks. For the NFL, that number is exponentially higher. And so to put everybody in those spots is basically, closed off to what, the world? Like I just don't see how this is going to go down. And that's why, even though I think we're going to start this season 30 days from today or 27, because I think the first game's on the 10th, I think we'll get to a start of the season. But once we start intermingling and, you know, going on planes and traveling all over the place, at that point, I want to see how, if we even get to a finish line. That's my thing. I think we'll start. Whether we finish or not, I'm very, very leery on that.
And I just want to say, since we're running out of time, that I think I agree with Carl 1,000%. You can't bubble this. Logistically, it doesn't work, because you're talking about on staff on each team. You're talking right there in confined instance, you know, throughout – I don't know what the circumference of a football field is, but right there – You're talking about possibly about almost 300 people, to include, you know, the media and so on and so forth. I don't think it's going to work, bro. It's not for that. It was a smart move for the NFL and actually for the NHL. But I can't see it, bro. I can't see it. And then you're also talking about scientifically, there being some conflicting reports medically about the air being traveling a certain way in air conditioned stadiums. So I don't know, man. I just can't see it. I have a lot more to say, but I'm looking at the time. I don't think it's a smart move at all. I don't think bubbles are a smart move at all for this particular sport. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, cool, man. We'll be back in 2 weeks. So any giant moves and transactions between now and the next 2 weeks, we'll address it. Sangre Azul, we'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll get to the NFC, man, and wrap this up. All right, enjoy. All right. Stay safe. Leave blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.